Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and life are His, and He changes the signs of a season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth within. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my Father, who has given me wisdom and wise, and has known unto me now what we desire Thee, for Thou hast made known unto us the King's matter. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, ever. Great and marvelous are Thy works, O God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, that we
Amen. Favorite song. Perfect song for today, too, because we are blowing the trumpet in Zion here. So, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us and keeping us and giving us all those things that we need to grow in grace. Thank you for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And bless us with the light of rain so that we can go forward and glorify you. As your prophecy says, your children will do. We want to be part of that number. And so thank you for blessing us with the tools to be there. We again lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night. And again, we lift up the families in Connecticut that are dealing with such an intense grief. And guide us, Father, through this week, through the rest of these days. Keep your hedge of angels always about us. Bridle our tongues when we're out there. And give us opportunities to share our faith with many. And thank you for blessing this work we do and giving us more to do for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, I never thought of that, Nick. I'll call you after Sabbath, because I wanted to talk to you about this network thing anyway, because especially for the chat room here. We're still looking for new chat software, but it does now. This stuff does now work with Windows 8. That's what that DOGM is in. It's recording. I'm going to let it record the whole thing. So, but I won't, you know. So, anyway, this is part three of Very Near the End. And it'll be online. It'll be like an addendum to People Get Ready book. Even though I cover some of the things in the book of People Get Ready in here, too, but a little bit more detail here, or maybe even a little bit more detail in the book. I don't know. But there are different topics and stuff, like, for example, with like prophecy number 7, which I'm starting with today in regards to animals of all sorts are going to die right before Jesus gets here. I mean, we've shared a bunch of signs in the last couple of series or, you know, parts of this sermon, you know, like with the earthquakes and the wars and rumors of wars and stuff like that. I think we're going to be covering the animals, and we got the pestilence and the disease and there's other things, yeah, but everything that's happening in our lives right now is supposed to happen right before Jesus gets here. And again, so in other words, like here with number 7 in regards to the animals, we see in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. And that's us, by the way. Right? Old Testament, New Testament theology confirms, and the mouth of Jesus himself confirms, those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Messiah are now considered Israel. There's a page on my website and a video all about this called Who is Israel? It's in the Bible Truth section. So hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Boy, does that sound like today or what? So going on, the prophet says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Okay. Yeah, please don't post links in the room. It's, first of all, if somebody clicks that link right now, it'll pull up a video in the chat room on the side, and it might cause them to fall out of the room. Because that's a YouTube. Please, you know, you got to ask for permission first, before posting any links in the room. So just thought I'd let you know. Anyway. Now here, this prophecy that I just shared from Hosea chapter 4, if this is something that's not shared in my book, People Get Ready. When I originally wrote it a few years ago, and it was not revealed to God's people as of yet. It's kind of like one of those John 14:29 kind of prophecies that the Lord says, and now I have told you before it came to pass that when it came to pass you might believe. You know, 'cause, I mean, you could read it. I mean, I've read Hosea, I don't know how many times over the last 30 years, let's say. And I understood it as, okay, the animals are going to die beforehand, but I never saw it to where, okay, now I can say this is happening. I mean, you could say it's going to happen, but how many times do you tell people Jesus is going to come back? And all them scoffers are out there says, yeah, well, he's been saying that for years. Yeah, that's fine and good. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But what I like is when prophetic events are spoken of in Scripture, and then they happen right before the eyes of many, that just gives us all sorts of fodder in regards to our warfare against the enemy of souls. So quite often, some of these prophetic events are not fully understood until after they are fulfilled. And this is why Jesus said what he said. And this not only keeps the people of God in the Word daily seeking out coming events as well as the Father's will in their lives, it glorifies the Lord and his Word when such things do happen just as he predicted long ago. As for this prophecy, very few of us have to be convinced as to its fulfillment. I mean, on my site I have a page titled Strange Wildlife Deaths, wherein I list the mass deaths of birds and fish and whales and dolphins and turtles and cows, horses, crocodiles, lambs, buffaloes, and even bees, to name just a few. But I'd like to share just a few headlines from that page. And by the way, this may seem like a large list that I'm about to share, but if you go to the aforementioned page, you're going to see that this is just a fraction of what I have listed. All right? Now, I'm just going to give you a list of the things that are happening globally first. It's a fairly large list. It's not massive. It's nothing. I'd say it's like one-third of a regular piece of paper as opposed to the dozens of papers that you would get from the Strange Death page. Anyway, 22 sperm whales die in Australia. That's one headline. The next headline is 6 million fish, over 1,000 alligators and dolphins are all dead in Bolivia. 100 tons of fish die near Brazil, and a ton is 2,000 pounds, by the way, and so that's, you know, a lot of pounds. mystery virus kills thousands of sheep. The next one is thousands of fish and birds wash up dead on the Canadian shore of Lake Erie. 40,000 crabs join the slew of animal death mysteries in England. Shalmanberg livestock virus hits 74 farms in England. Ocean life on the brink of mass extinction is a study that is some scientists put online. The bees are dying is the next headline. Food supply is now affected. Wildlife dying out at fastest rate since the dinosaurs. And we all know about their so-called evolutionary theology and falder all about the dinosaurs. They all died when that flood hit. It didn't take them a few thousand or few million years to die off, no. I mean, they're still finding fossils with flesh in them. It's unbelievable, and they still can't get it. Then there's a video that's called Planet Toxic, and it lists mass animal deaths that sweep the globe. That's the headline of the video. Then the next one is 50,000 dead starfish are found on Irish Lissadel Beach in Ireland. And that just happened 3 weeks ago, by the way. And 3.8 million birds die in Mexico. 3 million? That's almost 4 million. More than 60 whales die in mass stranding in New Zealand. Fungus has killed 6.7 million bats. So there's going to be a lot of mosquitoes in that area. I forget where that one was from. 20 tons of herring wash up on the Norway coast. 50 tons of tilapia lost as fish kills hit Lake Cebu in the Philippines. And then there's another video, and it shows thousands of dead octopus wash up on a Portugal beach. And then another one, and this happened twice, by the way. A river completely disappeared overnight. I mean, the river is just gone. The next day, it's just a trench. The river's gone. They're like, they don't know if there was like a sinkhole and it fell in it. It's just gone. And then disappearing mosquitoes mystify scientists because on top of it, the bats are gone that usually eat them. So where are the mosquitoes going? And then countless fish found dead in the UK brook, unknown causes. 31 wild boars are dead in the UK. Tons of farm fish are found dead in Vietnam. And wildlife are dying in Zimbabwe, like elephants and buffaloes are just dropping dead. Again, this list was only a smattering of reports I have listed regarding, you know, the nations of the world outside the USA. My Strange Animal Death page has a separate section dedicated to the United States of America alone, per state, because it's happening here more than anywhere else on the planet, and for obvious reasons, of course. It is here where sin is openly embraced, and it is here where Satan will begin his last hurrah very soon. It's actually the United States of America where the national Sunday laws will be done first. So this next list is yet another fraction of the articles I have posted. Okay, now this is just USA. Up to 100,000 fish found dead along Arkansas River. Then there's a video. Dead fish cover over 20 miles of Arkansas River. 20 miles. I mean, just covering floating. And then the next one is unprecedented number of sea otters dead along the California coast. And then the video, millions of dead anchovies in the California marina. I saw this video when I saw it. I thought, and I'm glad that the reporter mentions it in the report. There's millions and millions and millions of these dead anchovies floating. But, and I'm glad he stated this. He goes, now those are just the ones that are floating. He says there's 18 inches deep more underneath that are about to float up. 18 inches deep, all over the place, just dead. And then, and here's what really gets me. They always say this, well, it's a lack of oxygen in the water. Really? Then how come everything else didn't die? If it's a lack of oxygen, then everything in the ocean should have died, not just one particular species. But the prophecy also stated, scientists will lie in the end, you know, so they can push that peace and safety thing. Next one is oceans are rising, acidity rate, a threat to shellfish and humans, and then 100 million shellfish die because of it in this one area in the United States. And then there's another video of mass amounts of squid wash ashore in San Diego dead. 700 manatees die off the coast of Florida. Millions of bees mysteriously die in Florida. Record wildlife die-offs reported in the Northern Rockies. 2 million fish die in Chesapeake Bay, Maryland. 55 buffalo die mysteriously on a southern Cayuga County farm. An unprecedented bat die-off could devastate U.S. agriculture, it says. That's the next headline. And then it says thousands of dead worms plague Ohio. Wildlife dying out in dense Oregon evergreen forests. Hundreds of thousands of dead fish in Texas. Thousands of birds crash land in Utah Walmart parking lot. And this also happened in Missouri, by the way. People are driving down the highway, and the birds just start diving into the pavement. And they're not dead till they hit the pavement. They're all, it's like they all committed suicide. Oh, here, and then it happened in Washington, D.C., too. It says here, dead birds plummet from the sky over I-95 in Washington, D.C. Latest harbinger of doom? That's the headline. I didn't write that. That's what they put. And then the last video, last one I got is a video, and it says 200 dead cows found in Portage County field. Now, also notice this. Since this prophetic event started to happen weekly, the governments have, all around the world, have opted to force the national media not to report on them anymore so as to quench the truth that the end is near. That, as well, is a prophetic event as spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. As I stated a moment ago, the only time we see them reported is by local media now. Reason being is when you wake up in the morning and your entire city smells like death, you cannot hide it from the people. So they have no choice but to let them know about the deaths of the fish, the birds, or whatever else has died in their neighborhood. But keeping it local prevents the news from spreading nationally and then eventually globally to waken up some, you know, the lukewarm Christians. You know, because there's still a lot of people that believe the way we do, but they're just dragging their feet, waiting until, well, for whatever reason, who knows what they're waiting for, but they're waiting for something. And this is why I posted a request on the page of my Strange Animal Deaths for the people who come across these local reports to please email them to me, because the amount of reports had dropped drastically after they made that, you know, they stopped posting them, and that was their plan, of course. But I still get articles, and I still update page, you know, updated pretty often. And another thing I discovered was this. Many of the articles that I posted on the page have been deleted so as to prevent those that do research from having the data to need to, so they can report on this. And so, sadly, some of the links on my Strange Animal Deaths page are broken by these corrupt media outlets still. There are plenty of articles still intact online wherein the truth can be boldly stated. And even if they did pull them all, the fact all the URLs themselves are still intact upon my page suggests they were active at one time. No one can make up that many URLs that match the internal structure of these media websites in today's world because their URLs are actually well structured and easy to match per server because it's kind of like a little computer line of code for these URLs sometimes. They get all this information. And so by pulling them, they actually expose themselves before anyone else, that knows about, basic URL programming. And another thing that I'm probably going to start doing now is, and I hate doing this because it clogs up my server, because I already got, I'm pushing 10,000 pages now. When I get the articles now, I'm thinking of just copying and pasting the article into a web page that I put on my server. That way, when they pull the article, it'll still be online somewhere, So, all right, the next prophecy number 8. Men will believe lies over plainly written scripture. And what we have here is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Now, many that don't study prophecy or even basic Christian doctrine itself cannot see this as fulfilled. And reason being is the enemy of souls has been very busy making most believe that their careers or their sporting events or their ridiculous sitcoms are far more important to them than studying God's Word so as to be ready for Him when He returns. Sadly, the overwhelming majority of the Christian church is guilty of this sin. And at least 50% of the remnant people the world over are yet to awaken out of their slumber. Because we all know about the virgins that are sleeping. This can be easily seen by, merely looking into some of the false doctrines that are being taught and believed in the church today that have no basis in the Word of God at all. What I'm about to share can be proven false doctrine by merely opening up a Bible. But over the years, and thanks to many emails from brethren or just plain curious seekers, I have compiled many studies online exposing these false doctrines. When this sermon transcript is posted online, I will post a link for each and every topic I mentioned here. As a matter of fact, I got them all linked out already. And I'm about to share I have all sorts of ample scripture and historic facts in regards to how this is, in fact, true. I mean, what the Bible says is one thing and what they're saying is something completely different. So now, almost 100% of every Christian church out there believes that Sunday is the Sabbath, right? I mean, what is the fact? I mean, isn't that what they... prophecy said they're going to be leaving, traditions of men, doctrines of devils, or just plain fables. I mean, 100% of all the churches. This includes the SDA church, by the way, because they got a whole mess of, they got scores of Sunday-keeping SDA churches. Go to sdaapostasy.org and look on the menu and look for Sunday-keeping SDA churches. You'll see the list. So, tons and tons and tons of these, I mean, all these churches out there keep Sunday holy, when in fact you cannot find a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that states God changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first. Truth is, I have posted online statements from every denominational leader for the last 2,000 years wherein they have literally admitted in writing that the Sabbath was never changed, ever. Yet, most churches ignore that well-documented fact. Many also believe when a Christian dies, they go immediately to heaven or hell at death. Yet the Word of God plainly says in both the Old and the New Testament the exact opposite. Strangely enough, the churches also teach that if you go to your grave without Christ, you not only go to hell immediately at death, you will live for eternity in those flames of hell as punishment for your sin. Yet again, the Bible doesn't say that either. The Word clearly says in numerous passages that those that go to hell will burn away to ash at the end of the 1,000 years. And then take the 1,000 years itself as another spurious tool of Satan. Most of the churches teach Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years when he gets here. But there are many verses found in both the Old and New Testaments that the only one on earth alive during those 1,000 years is going to be Satan and his demons. Most churches also teach a secret rapture. But nowhere is this doctrine found in Scripture. However, there are many Bible verses that can be found that prove the second coming will not be done in secret at all. That fact alone proves yet another prophecy fulfilled by the prophet Amos, where most people have stopped reading Bibles today and forever, as a matter of fact. And most churches also teach there is a 7-year tribulation or a great tribulation that is soon, you know, that is to come very soon. Yet the Bible not only states that there is no 7-year trib, it also proves using prophetic facts matched perfectly with well-documented historic events that the great tribulation happened during the 1,260-year bloody reign of the Roman Catholic popes. Lately, a new false doctrine has arisen wherein the churches are now teaching that Islam is also the Antichrist, when the prophecies as well as historic facts matched with those prophecies also say, you know, quite boldly the opposite. I actually have a blog entry in regards to exposing the fact that, Islam is not the Antichrist. And so anyway, moving along. We also see churches today teach Trinity to be a doctrine of the Bible when in fact it can't be found anywhere in the Bible. And thanks to Rome's infectious ways upon those that don't trust or even bother to open up Bibles, many also baptize babies today while in so doing ignore what the Bible says about infant baptism. We also see churches teach that Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist as an actual person in the Godhead, or Christians have to keep the feast days. Some teach today that the Sabbath changes each and every day or each and every month to a different day of the week so as to follow the circle or the cycle of the moon. Or some teach the people in Israel are actually the chosen people of God, even though many verses in both the Old and New Testaments or even Jesus himself stated clearly, only those who accept Christ as Lord can be called Israel today. We also see some teaching that every Christian must speak in tongues, or you must only use the name Yahweh or Yeshua when speaking of the Father or the Son. Even though this seems like a lot of false doctrines, that can be proven false, by simply opening up a Bible, it doesn't end here. There are also some that teach Wednesday crucifixion, the law of God's been abolished, once under grace, always under grace, two witnesses are actually humans who are about to arrive, or they teach the mark of the beast is the barcode or a tattoo or a computer chip. They teach that the tithe is no longer necessary, and Satan does that to try to prevent preachers like myself and Brother Craig from not having the funds necessary to do the work, because that's all we live on, is the tithe. That's the way the Bible says to do it. That's how the Levites did it. It's just the way it's supposed to be done. Some are teaching that the Nephilim are giants that came from angels that were copulating with human women. Some say that Nero was the Antichrist, even though the term Antichrist was penned by the Apostle John after Nero was dead. And he's speaking of Antichrist in the future tense, right? Some teach that polygamy is okay. And some teach that Jesus made fermented wine at the wedding, or Peter was a pope, or God created the world in 6,000 years. And Adam and Eve are a myth because we evolved from apes, some teach. And the Vatican actually stated that. John Paul II and Ratzinger, a.k.a. Benedict XVI, stated that evolution is scientifically sound. Now, strangely enough, many fail to realize certain holidays and traditions of man that go directly against God's word in the last days, too. For example, Easter, Christmas, Halloween, St. Valentine's Day, and even birthdays are all doctrines of devils. I go into a lot of detail about all this on the site, In fact, I recently found a documented evidence that one of the doctrines popularized by the Pentecostals today was first embraced in the occult long ago. It's called the Serpent Power of Kundalini. In the book called The Stormy Search for Self, on pages 78 and 79, it describes what happens to people who are overcome by the serpent power, or the Kundalini, as they call it. And I'm going to read a small little excerpt from this book. And it was written by Christina Goff, and I think either her brother or her husband, Stanislav Groff. And this is what they say. It says, there has been much written about Kundalini yoga, supposedly causing mental collapse, psychosis, oppression, and even demonic possession. Some individuals involved in the process of feeling the surges of energy might find it difficult to control their behavior, during power rushes of kundalini energy. They often emit various involuntary sounds, and their bodies move in strange and unexpected patterns. Among the most common manifestations of this kind are unmotivated and unnatural laughter or crying, talking in tongues, singing previously unknown songs in spiritual chants, assuming yogi postures and gestures, and imitating a variety of animal sounds and movements. So not only does this describe what we see in many Pentecostal videos online of what happens in their church services, we also see what's described in what's called the Toronto Blessing of Canada, where people not only speak in tongues, but also have uncontrollable laughter, crying, barking like dogs, and grunting like animals, as well as bouncing around on the floor like a fish out of water, or crawling around like a dog with a leash around their neck. They actually let people put leashes on them, or just plain falling backwards, as what's described as being slain in the spirit. Brothers and sisters, this type of activity can be found nowhere in the Word of God as being blessed of God. It's only found in books of the occult. And by the way, this book by DeGrasse was written in 1992, and the Toronto Blessing Movement began in January of 1994. So the truth here is, there are many ancient books that speak of what we see in many churches today as not only being demonic, but of Hindu philosophy known as yoga. And I'm sad to say that many Christians today see no wrong in borrowing bodily moves or postures from this demonic cult as a way to exercise. And I must say, Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 and 32 is plain. As the followers of the Creator God, we must take heed and not follow after such things, or we will be ensnared by them. There are many honest, God-fearing people all over the world that delved into yoga to lose weight or enhance their awareness. When Satan sees he has a foothold, he allows them to lose the weight and gain the mental capacity they crave, and in so doing, they look upon yoga as a viable force all of a sudden to seek after. And before you know it, they bow to Buddha in worship and lose their salvation for all eternity. In short, when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Period. Now, I could also spend much time in showing all the new and strange religions popping up that prove this prophecy fulfilled and how actual demonic doctrines are now looked upon as exciting and new. And in fact, I just received an article the other day with a Jedi religion of Star Wars. Can you believe this? The Jedi religion of the Star Wars movies has actually grown to be the most popular alternative faith today. In a recent census in England and in Wales, they found that 176,632 people claiming to be Jedi Knights. This makes them the most popular alternative faith and the seventh most popular faith overall, you know, of all of them. And worse yet, when they did the census back in 2001, that number was a whopping 390,127 people claiming to believe in the Jedi Creed. And still, the number has dropped by 50%, yeah, but it's still large enough to hold the number one spot. And Jedi, you know, the kids with the lightsabers or something like that, and all this other weird stuff. So, now, again, I can go on and on about numerous strange beliefs running rampant throughout the church, like purgatory, limbo, ghosts, or even candle and incense burning. But I think you get my point. This prophecy has been fulfilled in a very apparent manner. Okay, next. Number 9, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," that's homosexuality, "truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." This passage has many prophetic statements in it that do in fact lead to perilous times for our society. I don't think I need to go over each item here, and as it is, can be seen by even a scoffer. What Paul is describing to Timothy here is indeed today's world in graphic detail. If any of us are still watching TV or remember what they used to see on TV daily, we can see all of these evil traits played out in every sitcom, newscast, or movie, or even a commercial, every single hour of the day. But quickly going through the list, we see that, yes, men truly do put on an air of self-love like never before. This is especially true in how commercials advertise their products to appeal to self and glorification of same. This, of course, leads to covetousness when your neighbor has a new car or a better house than you do, and so you want it. The fact your neighbor boasts about his car, home, and his toys also tempts mankind to covet. And as expected and prophesied, the boaster himself puffs himself up with pride while doing so. As for blasphemers, almost everyone you meet takes the Lord's name in vain today, or worse. They claim to be Christians while embracing sin as perfectly being acceptable to God. That's blasphemy. And as these people begin to have children and by example show their children there's no need for God in their lives, the children then become disobedient to their parents. This is something society has been dealing with now for decades. I recall the tough love days of the 1970s, wherein I rebelled against my parents. Everything and everyone around me influenced me into actually thinking my parents were the enemy. Even though I loved them dearly, I was eventually moved to hate them, and they never did anything bad to me at all. Yes, I was grounded on occasion like any teenager was, and yes, I even knew that it was all my own fault. That's why I got grounded. But because I was taught to hate them, it became their fault I was grounded. As for being unthankful, how many of us have seen news reports where someone declares they were lucky when they narrowly escaped death, or worse yet, those around them declare they died because God didn't stop their death or he simply decided to take them that day? You know, if a good thing happens, it was luck and not God that caused it. And if a bad thing happened, it's not luck at all. It was just God who caused it. He gets the bad end of the stick each time. As for the unholiness of mankind, just about everyone you meet, see no sin in lying, premarital sex, alcohol, violent sports, porn, movies, revealing, and sometimes vulgar fashions, piercing the body, tattoos, Sunday Sabbath, you know, homosexuality, abortion, cheating on their taxes, and gossip, you know, just to name a few. And as for the unnatural affections of mankind today, homosexual marriage is now legal, where just a few short decades ago, the act of a homosexual would land you in jail. Even here in the United States of America. And when I was a teenager, it was illegal. As for truth breakers, I'm sure each and every one of us have been promised something by someone who later broke that promise. If you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about here. We've had all sorts of people say, oh yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that for you and help to get the word, and it's just, that's all you get, lip service. You know? And yes, it seems like no big deal when someone breaks a promise. Because not only have we been victims of this in our past, we too have been truth breakers as well. It used to be a man's word was his bond. Today, that's an absolute rarity. In fact, it actually comes off as peculiar for someone to be an honest and reliable promise keeper. As for the false accusers in our society, the prisons are filled with men that are in jails for crimes they never committed. Not only do the criminals accuse them falsely, the prosecuting attorneys, because criminals commit crimes and they accuse somebody else and say that they did it, and then the prosecuting attorneys do this as well. And we've seen all sorts of horror stories where DNA proves the man is innocent, but the prosecuting attorney wants to get points on the resume, the guy ends up in jail anyway. And then when they find out later the truth about it, why doesn't the DA ever go to jail? Well, the other prophecies about the unjust laws comes into play there, but we'll get into that later, some other day. So as for being fierce, we have everything from violent criminals, raging sportsmen, crazed bikers, to actual serial killers to fill that list. Well, I mean, look what happened yesterday. 27 people dead, 20 children, 6 adults, and then that guy that, he was 20 years old, killed his mother first, and then killed all her students. And the prophecy that says they will be despisers of those that are good, I would think all of us have seen this come to fruition in our lives more than a few times. For example, you can walk into a room filled with loved ones and tell them that you decided to quit smoking and drinking one day. All of them will applaud you and declare you are a better man than they. But if you finish that sentence and tell them that you quit smoking because you became a Christian and found out it was wrong, suddenly all turn their smiles into frowns and ridicule you for trying to be better than they are. It all has to do with Jesus. And yes, we've even seen traitors step up in all sorts of ways in our society. I mean, look at our president right now. In the last 3 or 4 presidents, as a matter of fact, everything from leaders of large corporations as well to politicians bowing so low to the lusts of the flesh and wealth that they become traitors against their co-workers or fellow citizens simply for the gain of self. As for the high-minded mentioned here, I have met men that have claimed to be pastors that were never ordained of God. I have met men who have claimed to be elders in the church that have shown to be liars and quite hateful to their neighbors. And I have met men that have claimed to be Christians simply to hide their shame. Almost everyone we meet today puts off an air of self-elevation or acting as if they are someone they are not, that it's almost as if all the world is a stage wherein people play an act apart the minute they get up in the morning to the minute they put their head down on that pillow. And as for the lovers of pleasures over the lovers of God, I've met many that claim to be Christians who were drunks and drug addicts all my life. I've met people that lived and died in gutters because the pleasures of the flesh far outweigh the love of God has for them. This has to be the strongest and strangest sin I've ever seen in all my life. People actually destroy their lives and die very young simply because of a very temporary feeling they get from a drug. I mean, take the methamphetamine addicts. Get some of those pictures that they have online of the before and after. In just a few years, a beautiful young 20-year-old woman, by the time she's like 25, she looks like she's in her 60s. Teeth missing, open sores all over her face, gaunt, hair all scraggly. It's just unbelievable what the drug does. But, the lovers of the pleasures is one of the prophecies. And this, of course, is not to mention some of the other perverted means by which to entice the flesh that I'm not going to get into here. But the animal instinct of man plays a huge part here for many. And finally, how many of us have seen those that claim to be leaders in the mainstream church? You know, like the TV preachers and such. They claim to be godly at every turn, but when a trial comes or disaster hits, they are the first to claim even God couldn't have stopped it. I recall a preacher some years ago who many years, he claimed there were things that God himself couldn't control when he was speaking at the gravesite of a young girl that was murdered by a serial killer in his town. I've got that article actually in the book, People Get Ready. But this pastor right there in front of all the people was actually a scoffer. He was a scoffer. A pastor yet. So yes, this collection of prophecies mentioned by Paul to Timothy have indeed been fulfilled in our day, and all of them have been fulfilled multiple times for decades now. We are truly that close to the end. So I hope and pray you're blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day.
Those who enter the city are the faithful few.
Please do so. We're going to pray. And if you can kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence and for bribing my tongue. Thank you also for blessing us with life in these last days and letting us see all these things come to light right before our eyes. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our faith with others, giving us the words that cut hearts, and bringing all things to our remembrance, whatever you have said unto us. Thank you again for forgiving our sins and cleansing us and blessing us with the light of rain and the faith that moves mountains. Let the signs follow your people as you promised. And if we're not ready to stand in that position to glorify you, thank you for the trials that you sent our way to get us ready. And thank you for giving us the strength to stand firm and to be those overcomers you prophesied we will be. And thank you for blessing everyone on the prayer list, especially those that are lost. We lift up the workers again and the work that they're doing and those that help us do the work. But Father, please send more to help do the work because there's much work to be done. And we thank you again for hearing these prayers. And again, Father, those families in Connecticut, please bless them in a way that gets them to their knees, that they become true Christians and they are blessed in the midst of all this. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.